We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do the Chiefs have the 9th best roster in football? No, we'll talk about it. Maybe?
You are listening to KC Sports Network, the number one podcast network for today's Kansas City sports fans. With former players from your favorite teams, informed perspectives, and former insiders, this is the place for you. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts or on our YouTube channel, all over social media, or our morning newsletter, KCSN Daily, dedicated to your Kansas City Chiefs. KC Sports Network is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible.
You asked us 21 questions. Most of them are not about the Chiefs, and it's wonderful. This is going to be a lot of fun. What's up, everybody? Kent Swanson, Maddie Lane here, answering the subscriber-only questions on the podcast. 21 questions now presented by our wonderful friends at McDonald's. McDonald's, the title sponsor for 21 questions. I still have the sign right here. You thought it went away. It hasn't been back in a while. If you're listening on audio, this is probably not the friendliest thing, but shout out to wonderful people at McDonald's for their support and being the title sponsor of 21 Questions. They are opening up a store in Lee's Summit. It will be coming in this fall. You will probably see me there. You will see Maddie in there probably when he's visiting in town as well.
And McDonald's, Craig's there already.
Craig is Craig's camping out for the grand opening, and the sign's not even up. So shout out to the wonderful people at McDonald's. We are beyond thrilled to have them part of KCSN for year two. And, this is always a fun podcast for us. And they're a fun company to work with. So the synergy is just outstanding. I'm here with Maddie Lane. What's up, buddy?
How you doing? I like the rushed intro. You were trying to get through it at the beginning when you opened it up, but I missed the singing. Craig didn't sing last week when he did this. He told me that your kind of solo when you guys did one threw everything off, and now I was expecting you to sing. You didn't sing. I where are we going with this?
I don't know. I might have killed the bit, it sounds like, which sucks.
Why would you do that?
I didn't try to. I just wanted to do it once. And
but you took it. You took the torch. Like, you have to be the singer now.
That's a lot. Actually, I don't know when the last time I did a 21 questions was either. Like,
you come for the crown, you gotta, you know.
It's been a while since I've been on one of these shows, so I don't even really know. I haven't been monitoring what's happening on this edition on the KC Sports Network podcast. I'm doing this week, I'm doing next week, and then I'm off until training camp starts on this show because I've got so much stuff going on this summer. I know, like, it's really a busy summer for all of us here at KC Sports Network, and it's chaos around here, but yeah, a lot of family stuff. Let's get into these questions, though. We got some stuff to answer, and we're gonna start with JL asking if Bobby Stroop is gonna turn. He goes, Bobby is gonna turn George Karloftis into TJ Watt, isn't he?
You know, I mean, yes, sure. I have no reason to bet against Bobby right now, so yeah, we're going for it. Like that's where he's gonna be. I love that they're working together. I've said it from the get-go. I think it's super smart for George Karloftis to go there. I am interested to see how Bobby's very skill specific, sports specific training translates to a trench player. Cause to my knowledge, we haven't seen that yet. We've seen him with skilled players. We've seen him with Mahomes. We've seen him with baseball players. We haven't seen him with a trench player yet. So I'm kind of intrigued to watch how that unfolds, being somebody that's kind of come from the, you know, physical training and, you know, stuff like that background. I generally have an idea or can like watch what Bobby's doing and understand how that's going to translate onto the football field really well. I'm intrigued to see from what I'm seeing and what he's doing, if that's going to translate to the same level as it has for Mahomes or for other guys that he's worked with in the past.
I think it's going to help. And like everything kind of sounds like, you know, Craig wrote the 2019 verse 21 George Karlaftis article. Matt, you were very early on, hey, watch the early versions of George Karlaftis. I mean, if you're getting a lighter version, a more flexible version of him, that answers some of the questions that you were hoping to have answered about him. So, boy, the prospect of that is just very tantalizing. Bearcat, our buddy, asks, what is your favorite thing about going to training camp? I'm assuming it's outside of seeing him. I think, honestly, I love seeing, I like last year, just getting to connect with a bunch of like KCSN subscribers. I mean, especially considering we were only a couple months old last training camp. So yeah, like I think getting to connect with people that kind of follow KCSN is probably like my favorite part about going to training camp and seeing everybody and hanging out. like seeing Country was fun. Like, you know, I don't get to see Country in person very often.
I was going to say, listening to him just rip on Tucker was one of the highlights of last year's training camp for me as well.
Oh, it was so good. Bones Jackson asks, what are your top three places for food and what to order in KC? He says no fish. I think you should talk this. You should. I have some, but you should use this to really quick to talk about your favorite sandwich place that you always go to.
Okay. So I grew up north of the river in Gladstone. You're right up north of Kansas City. I have always lived next to a little Italian place there called Giovanni's. It's a little sandwich shop / deli shop. And they have, you know, warm stuff, just an Italian, a family owned Italian little restaurant. I get it every single time I come back to town because a lot of my family still lives up north. So when I go to see them, it's really close. It's convenient and it's absolutely delicious. And if I order a sandwich, I eat a lot of food. If I order a sandwich from Giovanni's, I'm almost full from one sandwich, and that doesn't happen often. Like if I get the meatball sub or if I get the turkey club, like I'm almost full after one sandwich. I only need like one or two extra things on the menu before I feel okay. So like that's one thing that I eat every single time I'm in town. I try to hit some kind of barbecue, whether it's Q39, Jack Stack, Joe's, whichever one I can get to. I make sure I get to at least one, but they're all a little bit more of a drive, so it takes more planning. And then finally, one more for me, Garozzo's. If I'm going out for a nice dinner, especially downtown, I love me some Garozzo's. That's two Italian places. So I don't know. I guess we can see where my taste is slanted to slightly. But like those are my three places that I kind of try to frequent as much as possible when I come to visit.
Garozzo's is a great ad. Q39, I think, and Joe's, I think, are great ads as well. Obviously, Jack Stack. Like, I mean, like the barbecue places, like I would, if you hit three barbecue places up, I wouldn't get mad at you. Garozzo's, I think, is a great ad. A fun place to go is Parlor off of 17th and McGee. I talk about this place a lot. They've got, it's like a adult food court. So you've got, I don't know, 6-7 restaurants and like really cool restaurants. Casey Matko's in there. I think they did something. They actually helped with Feed It Forward a couple months ago. You could go support them. They have a burger slider place, a taco place, a faux place. There's Providence Pizza in there. But the place I go to, Mother Cluckers. It's a Nashville hot chicken place.
This guy and his fried chicken, man.
I love me. So I'm not even going to let you hate on me for going there. But Mother Cluckers is where I normally go. I was there a couple weeks ago, actually. One of my old coworkers came into town and yeah, we ate up some Mother Cluckers. Corey Peter asks, the breakdown seems like, and the breakdown's the new show with Matt Castle. Seems like it would have a lot of overlap with the lab. What besides different people's perspectives can we expect to differentiate that show? Don't worry, y'all will still be my favorites, especially Craig. I'm adding hashtag Craig is great to that. Craig's my favorite too, Corey. Maddie, do you want to try to explain? I can if you don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you kind of, you can give people the professional spiel and then I'll kind of add a little bit to the end of it.
So, I mean, yeah, like the different perspectives and like there's, there's infinite places that you can go with, you know, film breakdown and film discussion. Like, there's just like, it's such a big playground to discuss. Like, I think you could have three of us talk about the same play and we'd all have different takeaways, even too, like in different talking points. I think theirs is going to be a little bit more, you know, like, I think they'll try to, they'll probably be a little bit more, you know, film driven. Like, you know, we kind of keep it a little bit more broad. They'll probably be a little bit more specific and narrow in the conversations that they're having too. It probably won't be as many discussions about as many different things as we try to cover when we're doing the lab. Be a little bit shorter too. So those are some of the distinctions that I think you could probably expect between the breakdown and what we're doing on the lab.
And if anybody kind of watched some of the shows, you know, I was doing with Matt Castle last year, and we were putting them out towards the end of the year, we shifted a little bit of the focus to start trying to look at specific things that were coming up from the week ahead, trying to look, identify matchups or specific through schemes, specific things to look at in the upcoming matchup. I think that's one area they might try to focus on for that. And they're just going to be much better equipped to handle that than kind of we are going to be, because they're going to have a few more resources. They've obviously have a lot more experience with NFL concepts and what's going on in the league than we do. So like, they can do a better job in a timely manner of getting through it. Whereas when, you know, we try to do it, we have our ideas and our opinions, but like, both these guys have connections, been in the, you know, around the league, talk to people in the league. They'll just be able to get through it, get a lot more straightforward and to the point of some stuff that quite frankly takes a lot of work when you're on the outside to try to go through it all and find all these things. And so they're going to be able to do a great job of that. And I think Kit kind of nailed it. It's going to be a lot of visuals. It's going to be based a lot around what they're showing you on the screen while you listen and watch. So you're going to get some very, very great detailed explanation and breakdown of what's happening. We try to keep it a little bit more broad. We still focus on the film, but we try to keep it a little bit more broad spectrum so you don't have to be staring at a play necessarily to always understand what we're trying to talk about.
Brandon W. asks, what is the most surprising thing and the least surprising thing about the Discord?
The most surprising to me is how many people get in there every single day to talk about stuff that's not even related to the Chiefs. I think that's the thing. I didn't know how many people were going to like it when we kind of first talked about this. We just kind of thought it would be a fun idea to not have to talk entirely in public on Twitter with people that were part of, you know, the community that we wanted to create with KCSN. And we appreciate every single one of you, whether you are on the Discord or not, for, you know, helping us, supporting us, being a part of this. But if you're on the Discord, like, you guys are amazing. You guys log in there every single day and talk about basketball, food, non-sports, Craig being great, television, whatever it may be. And it's like, it's not related to the Chiefs at all, especially during the summer here. Very rarely does the Chiefs channel get anything new dropped into it, but the Discord is staying almost as busy as it does during the season. So like, that's, I think, the one that took me the most off guard.
It's so cool. I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of you are a part of this community. And I think that's one of the most surprising things, is just how big this community has turned. It's just so cool to see, you know, all you guys, you know, kind of engaging with this channel. And I mean, the bits that have turned into this thing, like the mock draft that the Discord did, was one of the coolest things I've ever seen in my life. Shout out to our buddy Christian Gumminger. Least surprising, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there's anything that's like, it's just, I think it's just all just been so incredible and so cool. And you can get access to the KCSN Discord, which has got just a large, fun community of people hanging out, talking. If you subscribe to KC Sports Network, which you can get it for like, I don't know, it's like super cheap now, like $30, you get access to the KCSN Discord as part of all this. You get all of the premium content that we'll be producing throughout the year. You'll get to ask questions on 21 questions, and you get access to this wonderful, wonderful community, which is just, it's all off the rails. It's just so great. It's so much fun. Robbie C, I've been thinking about comparisons between MVS and Joe Horn. Both were fifth round draft picks, big, fast, 27 the final year with their first club, and had decent stats, but nothing to suggest they were number one wideouts. Joe Horn went on to make the Pro Bowl four of the next five seasons in a new system in New Orleans. Can we see a Joe Horn-esque breakout for MVS in this offense? I don't know if it's unreasonable to think that MVS has a little bit of an ascension. I don't know if I'm banking on it necessarily. I know there's some optimism about some of the routes that he's been able to run and kind of show some strength in, and the way that they've kind of been utilizing it a little bit differently in Kansas City since he got here. I'm in such a wait and see mode where I'm not ready to stake my claim on MVS. I'm not ready to stake my claim on Juju, any of these new guys, really, just because we haven't seen them in Kansas City yet. We haven't got eyes on them in any capacity in Kansas City yet. So, I mean, I don't think it's out of the range of outcomes, but I don't know if I'm banking on any of these guys. And that's why I'm so excited, honestly, because I know some of these guys will quote unquote break out. I'm just curious to see which ones it actually is.
Specifically the Joe Horton MVS comp, I obviously can't rule it out because we got to wait and see how the year goes. I do think the thing that with Joe Horton in Kansas City, he wasn't really given the same opportunity that MVS has been given so far in Green Bay. Like, Joe Horton didn't play near as many snaps. It took him a while to even get to really see the field for the Chiefs. MVS has been on the field and his role has not really expanded. You could almost make the case the Chiefs just didn't utilize Joe Horton the way that he should have been. And that's why he had such a big jump when he went over to New Orleans and they actually did. Yeah, you might see MVS do a few more things at Kansas City, but like that would mean the Packers, who played him a lot, completely misutilized. Not just didn't get him on the field, but had no idea how to utilize him despite playing him a ton. So like, I do think there's a little bit of a gap there and that aspect of the comparison, but hey, fingers crossed that happens. Like, he has all the athletic tools in the world to do it. I hope he does. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go there yet because he has been given the opportunity to show those signs already.
Casey from KC, how did you guys rate? I'm assuming it's Justin Watson because he's talking about receivers. How did you guys rate Justin Watson when his class was drafted versus other wide receivers we have currently? So this actually was outside the scope of the KC draft guide. So the KCSN draft guide, this was 2018 when Justin Watson was drafted. I don't remember having a ton of strong Justin Watson takes. Honestly, I mean, he kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. You know, kind of got a little bit of sizzle late in the draft process, if I remember, in 2018, but he wasn't a guy I spent a ton of time watching. And I think he wound up going like fifth round. I don't think I stacked him even when I was doing evaluations in 2018.
Yeah, I was doing it by myself then. I think I probably got to 150-ish players, and he wasn't one of them coming out of Pennsylvania. Like, I had no real ability to go track down with any Justin Watson films. Like, he wasn't really on my radar until he tested, and even still then it was just here's a big fast guy that I don't know much about. Day three probably would be my guess.
Mike Denny asks, what's the biggest contest sweepstake drawing you've ever won? Do you have one, Maddie? Because I have one.
Okay. I mean, like, you know, I've won some money playing Call of Duty back in the day. I think that counts as a contest. That counts as something.
What?
I played some Call of Duty back in the day.
How much did you make playing Call of Duty? I didn't even know this.
Makes a strong word. Okay, so like after splitting it and like losing everything you got, I think the most from like a single tournament was probably like $1,200, like just for me. There's a lot of smaller ones and stuff. Like, we want some money.
What a flex right now.
I played some Call of Duty back in the day, man.
So I'm really grateful that it's hard to find this. About 6 years ago, I played on Let's Make a Deal. I was a contestant on Let's Make a Deal. I played Car Pong. I was dressed as like a kangaroo. But I think the show called it an aardvark. That's like the description of the show. It was an aardvark plays for a car. It was a kangaroo costume. I played Car Pong and I hit the car cup like three times when I played. But I made it in a couple of $500 buckets that were kind of around the car. If you've ever played, it's like kind of like beer pong, but you're playing for a car. And you have like 60 seconds or 30 seconds or something to try to hit as many balls as you can into these buckets. I won $1,000 on Let's Make a Deal, but I didn't win the car. So that was really a bummer.
I thought for sure you were gonna go with your amateur wrestling match.
I didn't make any money on that.
You don't have to win a money to win a contest.
I just you don't have to leak all my secrets, but that was a fundraiser. I mean, we raised a decent chunk of change that night, I think, actually. I think we raised like $5,000. Or something stupid like that. Oh. So,
do you want to know my biggest failure in terms of like, not really a contest, but a challenge? I was on one of my first dates with my now wife. We were at the Renaissance Festival, and it was probably like a good 35 yards away. They had one of those people that just talks smack to you in the little hole, and you're supposed to throw a tomato and try to hit them. And this guy's just talking mad trash. And his little, you know, counterpart guy came up and gave me a tomato and like was like, they were teasing me, saying I couldn't do it. I finally just hurled the thing, got it into the hole and nicked his ear, but didn't hit him. And like, you could see it on his face that he was like surprised that it actually almost happened. Like he was like, oh, I'm about to get hit in the face by a tomato. But then it just skimmed his ear. And like, after a brief pause, he continued talking trash. It was the most upset I've ever been in my life. And it did not hit him square in the nose. Like you could tell he had not been hit by a tomato in years of doing this. And like his life flashed before his eyes. And I was so mad. I got it in the darn hole, but it would not actually hit him. Oh, so upset. I still remember it to this day too. It's a mouthy little guy.
Oh, it's incredible.
So upset.
I've seen you throw a football. It's impressive you were able to throw it that accurately.
Listen, I can't throw a spiral, but it's accurate, okay?
Leighton Y 44, with all the talk of the right tackle battle, should we assume Darian Kennard, Lucas Niang, and Andrew Wiley will all make the roster, or will one get cut? Lock it up, all four of those make the roster. I don't think there's really any chance that either of those, any of those guys don't. I think they'll probably work, you know, they'll try to see, you know, look at some swing tackle options there too. They probably need some support on the left side. I mean, Jaron Christian probably pretty secure on the roster right now, I would anticipate. I mean, they signed him pretty early too. So I would anticipate Jaron Christian being on the roster pretty solidly too. So I think those guys are in good shape. Rugby Fox, what is the biggest weakness you anticipate in the Chiefs offense this year?
Continuity, I guess, right? I mean, like, that has to be the answer. I think it's kind of the cheap way out, but just the expectation that everyone's going to be on the same page and clicking from week one's obviously not going to be there. I think you're going to have guys that run the wrong routes or aren't in the right spots that somebody else expects them to be in, and it's going to take a while for that to gel. I'm hoping that the dynamic plays come with some changes in the offensive scheme, but I think if the offensive scheme doesn't change at all, I think you're going to see another year where they're, I mean, funny as it might be, the dynamic plays for this offense might not be there at the same clip it was earlier. So, like, I'm hoping they make changes so that's not the case. If they don't, that's a possibility. But I think it's just got to be the continuity from all the new pieces they're adding around Patrick Mahomes, bringing back a new voice for the offensive coaching staff. That seems to be kind of the easiest bet here.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we're answering your questions. This is 21 Questions presented now officially by MacNoodles. The first episode, I think, presented by MacNoodles, our wonderful friends. And we are continuing to answer the questions from the KCSN Discord channel. You can access that on the KCSN Substack when you are a paid subscriber. It's only $30. And we've partnered with Boys and Girls Club of Kansas City. Make sure you check all of that out, kcsn.substack.com. Okay, so Casey from Casey asks, if the Chiefs package Noah Gray and Nick Allegretti in a trade, who might be a potential trade partner for what players and picks? You know, I think you're guys, I'll just stop right there. Like, I think you're the trades with the NFL are a little tricky. You're not going to very often see two player trades. So you're not going to see two guys go to a team as part of a deal very often, unless it's a significant player. Noah Gray and Nick Allegretti. So, like, I don't think teams necessarily look at package deals when they're looking to try to, you know, acquire players. So like, there's the first thing kind of there. Noah Gray and Nick Allegretti as standalones probably aren't going to bring you much. You might be able to get a draft, you know, a player for player trade, but you're not able to package and leverage two guys for anything of substance, really, I don't think. And that's where, that's just kind of how the nature of NFL trades happen. You know, you're not going to see like, you know, 2-for-1 deals or something like that. And you're two guys that have to fit specific needs on a team and specific, you know, schemes, probably not necessarily there. It's kind of tricky in that regard. So I don't know if you can package them to get a better player. And I don't know what the value of either of those guys is at this point. You have anything to add to that, Maddie?
No, I wish the NFL would get closer to the NBA where you do package guys together to like make more fun trades, but that's just not how it works. Teams go out and look for one specific thing. So you want to tell me that the Chiefs could maybe find a trade partner for a Noah Gray or a trade partner for Nick Allegretti? Like, yeah, I could buy it. Allegretti seems to be more likely, I think, now. And you're looking at something similar to the Parker Inger trade from years ago where the Chiefs got back at the time a very unknown, unproven, undrafted rookie free agent in Charvarius Ward to play cornerback. The Chiefs were light on their cornerback depth. The Cowboys were light on their interior offensive line depth. So the two teams essentially just said, hey, we might not have this guy make the team. Let's just swap, fill out, you know, the depth that we're already weak at and see what happens. So like, I can see something like that for Allegretti, but finding a team that would want him bad enough to make a trade, but that would also want Noah Gray so that you could increase the value in what you get return for them, just seems unlikely for the NFL, as unfortunate and as unfun as that may be.
S Wallaby 13 asks, if you could bring back Prime, Priest Holmes, Jamal Charles, or Kareem Hunt, who is it and why?
Jamal Charles, it's not close. I think he's the best of the bunch, and I think he would bring a level to this offense of something else that they don't have, like his ability to consistently hit dynamic runs or receptions for a team that, especially last year, struggled to find dynamic plays, would go a really, really long way. And like, I don't want to make this more complicated than it has to be. Jamal Charles is one of the top three most talented runners of the football that I have seen in my lifetime play in the NFL. Kareem Hunt was great. Priest Holmes was great, but they're not Jamal Charles.
Imagine Jamal Charles behind Priest Holmes' offensive line. Just saying. LeBrundage asks, how many more years do you think Travis Kelce plays? Give me 5. I think he'll be 37. He'll turn 38 in his five seasons from now. So through his year 38 season, I think it'll be, you know, I think, you know, load management is going to become more and more important starting now. So I think, you know, I think he might try to extend it as long as he can because he loves the game of football. If I set the line, Matty, I set the line at 4.5. What are you taking?
This is hard. So I just pulled up, and this is just receiving yards. He would have 6,000 yards away from catching Tony Gonzalez. That's a long way away. I don't know if that's realistic. So then we switch over to maybe something like receptions. I think he's like 500 plus away. Seems also unlikely. Like, I'm just trying to look at if there's any records that he might be close to at the end of 4 years. Like, that's kind of my thought process. Like, what might he be close to at the end of 4 more years if he wanted to go for a record? I don't know if it'll be there. I think his efficiency stats are going to be great for the amount of, you know, snaps that he's played. For as long as he's played, his stats are fantastic, certainly Hall of Fame worthy. I think at the end of his career,
Lock.
He will belong.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, he will be. And he belongs in the tight end one of all time conversation. I just don't know if he's going to realistically be able to get into the Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates for touchdowns level of record setting to prolong him. So I would take the under of the 4.5 because I don't think he'll be close enough. And I'm very clear, guys, Travis Kelce setting himself up with all these media tours, with all these public appearances to have a life after football. And that's fine. He should. He's good at it. It's smart. He's starting to set the seeds. I think you saw him do that whole media tour after the Chiefs lost for the Pro Bowl and all that stuff. You've seen him be on, you know, NFL Network or ESPN a few more times this offseason. Like, he's starting to get his foot in there, and I think that's smart. I think that lets you know that he's at least starting to prepare for a life after the NFL.
Travis Kelce's my tight end one in Kansas City Chiefs history. I don't care. Go argue with your pillow. Steve Gray, why do Spags defense Steve, Spags defenses start slow early in the season, and what adjustments can Spags make it with this youthful squad to mitigate that issue?
I don't know if there's a lot of steps you can take to mitigate the issue, especially this year. The reason they start slow is he throws a lot at them. He puts a lot out there. Spags does a lot of stuff. He breaks tendencies. He's a little bit of a wild card. It works, as you can see by opposing offenses down the stretch when things are clicking. It matters. He can confuse Tom Brady, one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback of all time. He can confuse him at a time where it matters. He also will throw something out there that occasionally will get his team burned or will result in Charvarius Ward one-on-one against Ja'Marr Chase for an entire game with no real answer against it. Like, it's just there's so much give and take out of it. And I think he puts so much on these guys' plates in terms of play calls that sometimes it's going to start a little bit slower as the scheme evolves or they add new stuff to it. By the end of the year, everyone starts to get on the same page. They start to understand what's happening. They know the adjustments. They know why the adjustments are coming, and things start to work better. I just think it's going to happen, and that's okay. I think you could finish the year strong. If you start it slow, it's fine. You just can't do the opposite of that.
Jersey Chief wants to know about our day jobs. He says, if you're not comfortable, totally fine. Curious what your day jobs are. Pretty amazing. Y'all make time for KCSN day jobs and raising kids. Not easy, but you know, we bounced out. I'm in marketing for a company called Aero Truck Sales. Shout out my company, Aero Truck Sales. I've been in marketing there for about 9 years. I'm a marketing manager now. I do all kinds of stuff, mostly digital marketing. So I've been working there for like the last 9 years. And part of the reason you haven't seen me on the show recently is because I've had to do a lot of travel for work lately. But yeah, I love my day job and I love working at Arrow. So I'm not looking to leave there anytime soon. So yeah.
Did some fitness equipment sales stuff and now farming up a storm out here.
Farmer Maddie.
Not really. Like, it's not really like a job.
Shut up. Like, no, you are maintaining a whole farm. Like, people don't realize, like, we talk about like how great Craig is, but like Maddie sneakily is a highly skilled individual as well.
I just have Google that Craig created.
He remodels stuff. He builds, you know, housing for all of his chickens and ducks and pigs and fencing and all kinds of stuff. This man is multifaceted.
I mean, I will accept your compliments, but yeah, that's kind of what I get up to. You know, so fitness stuff, farmer stuff, and then doing this with you guys, and then, you know, yeah. Kids, got the kids around, especially with COVID and stuff went around, kept the kids home a lot more often, especially during the meat of it. It's like there was a lot of kids at home time for some of that stuff. So stay busy, but we find time for this. This is stuff that we would do anyway. It's just instead of now staying up to 3 a.m. talking about it just for fun, you know, we get to do it with you guys. And that's a lot more fun this way.
It is a lot more fun this way. JL asks, this is for me. What's your hashtag always game for the Chiefs going to be? Is it hashtag always LeVon? So the always game, hashtag always game, hashtag is all about the Royals. And the reason I use it is because there's a long backstory, but the always game hashtag was actually for the Pacers. And the people that cover that have the Royals games, the rights to the Royals games, accidentally used the Pacers hashtag for a Royals game because the Royals was always Royal. I just use always game out of my frustration that it's so hard to watch my favorite baseball team and how bad the favorite baseball team that I'm actively trying to watch still, even though they're like 26-46 is. So there's not going to be one of those from that because the Chiefs have a plethora of access to watching the games and they're good. So I'm not going to have a ton of frustrations this year, I don't think. Maddie J asks, when will we start running the ball down people's throat and open up the play action pass with our offensive line and running back strength?
Never. No. as you listen to this, head on over to kcsn.substack.com. I'm starting a little bit of a new series now where I'm going to be looking at just the way the Chiefs can use play action a little bit better and why they might have to this upcoming year. A lot of it centers around they lose Tyreek Hill. They're going to have to manufacture vertical plays maybe a little bit differently. Matt Nagy's coming back, in which the last time he was with the Chiefs had an excellent vertical play action passing game. Granted, it was Alex Smith, but they had it. So we're going to start looking at least how the play action side of it will work. I hope that coincides with more running the football down people's throats. I don't even necessarily want to say running the football more, just running it more at teams rather than trying to run around them. We will see. I think I can make a good case that the Chiefs overhauled their offensive line last year to a place where we all thought they were going to run a power running game. The issue was the passing game was still predicated entirely around RPOs and creating horizontal space, but there's vertical elements, but it was still a horizontally spaced passing attack. And a lot of that was because you had these smaller receivers, couldn't really block. So you'd rather spread the defense out, create space that way. You don't need Tyreek Hill or, I mean, Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson were fine for it, but Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, like these aren't blockers. You can't ask them to go block a linebacker or a box safety. You're better off just using them to run somebody away. Travis Kelce at this age isn't the blocker that he was 3 years ago. Like there's certain reasons why they probably couldn't do that last year. Adding MVS, adding Juju Smith-Schuster, having Blake Bell back again and some other tight ends. I think there's a chance that that overhaul of the offensive line that we saw last year paired with the overhaul of the wide receiver room this year could lead to a more aggressive rushing attack because now you have not just the offensive line, but the wide receivers that fit that same style of offense. Whereas last year, the wide receiver room definitely was still more set up to be a spread type attack.
I still think teams are going to just be just fine with the ball being out of Patrick Mahomes' hands. They're going to let the run happen. And I don't know if play action will be as effective because of that. Just going to say that. We've got a start trade cut question from Andy Nagel. But first, let's talk about Trade Coffee. Why don't we? Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being the largest source of new growth for them. This is expert tasted coffee. Trade's coffee team actually taste tests thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every single day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you. And Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade Coffee sends you freshly roasted beans from 60 of the country's best craft roasters, small businesses who pay farmers fair prices to sustainably source the greatest beans from around the world. Right now, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/KCSN. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/KCSN and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That is drinktrade.com/KCSN. Four letters. KCSN gets you $30 off. Shout out Trade Coffee. Anyways, Andy Nagel, start trade cuts. Nick Allegretti, Lucas Niang, Andrew Wiley, go.
Ooh, okay.
I got it. Can I go?
Yeah, you should go.
Best of luck to to Nick Allegretti. You're getting cut. I'm starting Andrew Wiley, and I am trying to trade Lucas Niang.
Okay. I'm going to also cut Nick Allegretti. Sorry, buddy. You don't play tackle. That's where this is. I think that Andrew Wiley has more trade value than Lucas Niang right now. So I'm trading Andrew Wiley and going to run with Lucas Niang as the starter. And if it doesn't work, we have Darian Kennard rating in the wings.
Are you ready to bank on Darian Kennard?
No, not necessarily. I'm banking on Lucas Niang and Darian Kennard combining to be one acceptably competent.
Let me ask this question again. So is moving on from who you think, do you think Andrew Wiley is the best option at right tackle right now?
I don't know. This is something that I said I would like to wait until training camp, and I will tell you after I see the first weekend of training camp who I think should start at right tackle. I just say I think tackles, offensive line are one of those spots where I think you can tell at training camp kind of who is that guy, and I think you'll be able to tell pretty quickly if Darian Kennard is going to be able to be that guy this year or not.
I think Andrew Wiley is going to be that guy at the beginning of the year. I don't think Lucas Niang is going to be that guy, and I would rather just make sure I keep the guy I think is going to start the season as the starting right tackle before I keep Lucas Niang. I don't think whatever you get in return for Andrew Wiley is worth giving up who you think is your best option at right tackle. And so I would trade Lucas Niang because I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm wait and see. I'm wait and see. Okay. Derek Vreeland asks, want to play a game? You have to build a four-man offensive team. You have Mahomes at quarterback. You have to pick a Chiefs wide receiver, tight end, and running back to play with him. The twist is that you have to pick one Chiefs player from the 90s, one Chiefs player from the 2000s, and one Chiefs player from the 2010s.
Woo! So, have you researched this at all, or do you just want me to wing it?
No, this I think this is gonna be pretty easy. Let me. I gotta.
Okay, I'll do my team. You can correct me if I'm wrong here. I think these are right. I'm obviously picking Travis Kelce for my team. I'm picking a tight end, right? Travis Kelce is my tight end. My running back, we already talked about him, is Jamal Charles. So there's my 2010s, my 2000s, and my 1990s is a wide receiver. I'm going Andre Rison. He had one good year with the Chiefs. I know, but he was really good before that. We were just getting all we're getting is 90s Rison. He was good with, what was it, the Falcons before that? I was like 3 years old, so I don't remember that. But he was, I remember him with the Chiefs. He had a good year. I do think he had over 1,000 yards for 1 year. I think that's the weak point, clearly, of this team is Andre Rison is my wide receiver, but I got Travis Kelce and Jamal Charles. I think you'll be fine.
I have strong feelings about Tony Gonzalez, but The correct answer is to, oh, darn, I have to take the best statistical tight end in NFL history. Tony Gonzalez from my 90s, 2000s is Jamal Charles, which leaves Tyreek Hill in the 2010s. Like, I think that's the best. I mean, I want Travis Kelce. Like, you're contractually obligated to take Travis Kelce, Maddie. I think that's the answer, though.
What if I just play Travis Kelce at the X and I take Tony G as well as my tight end? Mm-mm. Kelsey's my wide receiver. Nope. He's playing X for me. Mm-mm. So I get Tony G, Jamal Charles, and Travis Kelce. Okay, I win the game. Thanks for asking, Derek Vreeland.
You don't get to Maddie answer that one. You're wrong. Kay Gumminger, how often should you wash your sheets? This is coming from Briscoe's show last night. How often? I want to know how often you should wash your sheets, Matthew. How often should you?
Okay, this depends. Are everybody sleeping in the bed? Are they a night shower or a morning shower? Because I think that makes a huge difference on how often you should wash your sheets.
I think you're dead on, but continue.
All I got. I mean, like, that really determines. Like, if you're a night shower, I mean, I don't know. If you're a night shower, you can go a while without having to wash your sheets. You get clean right before you go into bed. As long as you're not crazy and, you know, dust your feet off from walking across the floor to get into bed, you're probably good to go for 2, 3, 4 weeks. But if you are a crazy morning shower person and get into bed all disgusting every single night, like, every 3 days, wash your sheets, dude. You know how gross my sheets would be if I just showered in the morning and slept in them? I wouldn't want to get back in there.
Maddie, I'm assuming you're a night showerer then, just the way you have just described yourself.
Absolutely. I'm not. I was born and raised in a house.
I firmly believe, like, you don't go to bed just, like, covered in filth. Like,
right. If you want to be a morning shower person, that's fine. If it wakes you up or whatever, that's fine. But also shower at night.
I just don't understand, like, why you would wake up to shower and then, like, through the entirety of the day, you accumulate your dirt from everywhere else, and then your bed, your haven, you just bring in, you've got just the dirt of the whatever you've done that day. Like, I couldn't imagine working out at night and then going to bed. Like, and you don't even feel good.
No, it's awful. It's horrendous. And, like, I sweat enough as it is at night. Like, I run hot. I sweat enough it is at night. So, like, my sheets are already, like, slight, you know, sweat colored from sleeping. I don't need to add dirt and mud and sweat that's been on my body all day. Like, I'm borderline OCD when I sleep. I got to have the sheets on my side are pulled tight. I want the sheet completely over me that goes all the way across one shoulder. I'm tucked in fine. I have just enough comforter. I don't want too much, not enough. I'm borderline OCD. So when the wife eats in the bed and leaves some crumbs, when the kids get in there and track whatever they get into, I have to get out of the bed, brush it all out. I can only imagine getting in there all filthy myself. No chance.
I mean,
no chance.
There's just, like, some people are just, they're night. Like, I've got to be a night shower. I still think, like, 3 to 4 weeks is too much, because, like, especially you just got done talking about like, even despite doing all this cleaning, you're still like, you're still accumulating a lot of sweat there. I think 3-4 weeks is way too long.
10 days. I think it's probably, how many?
10 days.
Buddy, some of us can't afford a water bill in the millions from doing all these, the sheet laundry. Okay.
I think you gotta do it. I'm gonna ask my wife. Like, my wife is normally the one that like does that. I gotta figure out like what our frequency is. I would guess it's like she does it like a week. What about towels? What about like your bath towel?
I'm not as good about, well, okay, I personally am not as good about that. But the thing with towels is when you have kids and you live with other people, towels start to get shared with multiple people. I'm not about to dry off with a wet towel. I'm not going to dry off with a towel that's been dropped on this disgusting ground that has animals and stuff that run around it. And who knows what kind of spilled food or drink, right?
I'm with you.
If I see my towel has been moved from where I put it in the slightest, I just go get a fresh towel. Like, I just go get a fresh towel. I'm not about to reuse a towel that would have been who knows where.
So I largely stand with you. And sometimes I was like, you know what? My kid can just dry off with it. I can get a fresh one. It's fine. We're gonna. He's a kid. He's, you know, he needs those germs to. Yeah, I'm not a germaphobe, but like, there's like a little bit of it, you know.
The kids can do whatever they want to do. That doesn't bother me at all. It's just personally, I'm not gonna use a towel that's been dusted behind the couch where all the dog hair accumulates until I vacuum it. Like, that's, I'm not gonna do that. So I'm a lot quicker on the towels to be cleaned, but the bed sheets, like I said, I don't spend a lot of time like there. It's to sleep and to get out. As long as they are not. They don't feel like they're full of crumbs or they're greatly discolored. We'll just keep going. Like, until they start to look or smell like they are done, then we'll wash them.
I put out a poll on Twitter to ask if people are night showers or morning showers, and I cannot believe how many morning showers in the early results exist.
Oh, that's rough.
It's right now it's 64% morning
shower. But that makes sense though, because all the night showers are showering.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Oh, it's up to 70% morning showers. Okay, we gotta move on. How long should shorts be? Mike Denny asks, Maddie. This is specifically for you. I don't even know if he tagged you, but it is for you.
No more than 7.5 inches. If your shorts are inseam, if your shorts have longer than a 7.5 inch inseam, you're not wearing shorts. You're wearing short pants.
Maddie, that was tailor-made for you. B-Fry, with so many new parts on offense and defense, could the Chiefs have a losing record the first quarter of the season, especially considering the strength of the schedule that they're playing? Ooh.
With the schedule? Could, yes.
This is a good question. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that they have a losing record in the first quarter of the season. I won't bet on it, but 500? Yeah, I think that's entirely fair. I think that's entirely fair. Pro Football Focus ranked the Chiefs with the 9th best roster in football. Christian Gumminger wants to know our thoughts on the Bengals, the Eagles, the Browns, the Packers, the Rams, the Chargers, the Buccaneers, and the Bills having a better roster than the Chiefs.
Okay. I don't think the Chiefs particularly belong necessarily in the top three for sure. Probably not the top five. And the only reason you could have made that case that they should in the past is the top end talent was so good that it made up for not the best depth or the best like middle part of the roster. But when you lose Tyreek Hill and a Tyron Matthew and Charvarius Ward, who was playing really good, and you're also, you know, Frank Clark's not what he once was. You're still dealing with some overturn on the offensive line without Mitchell Schwartz or Eric Fish. Like, I think there's this roster as a whole has probably taken a step back when you compare it across teams like this. However, 9 behind the Bengals, the Eagles, the Browns, and the Packers. I don't know. I mean, like, I think being behind all four of those teams is a little stark to me. I think the new additions to the wide receiver room, the new offensive linemen aren't getting the credit that they should be getting for how good they are. I think 9's a little low, but I also think the fact that I'm making a case for them to be 6 or 7, but still think they're a Super Bowl contender, goes to talk about, you know, how good Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce are.
This is absolutely disrespectful to one person, and that one person is Patrick LaVon Mahomes. Maddie, I don't know if you listened to the episode with Nate Tice, but I think people are not appreciating the gap between Patrick Mahomes and the next quarterback. The blatant disrespect to rate the Philadelphia Eagles roster better than the team that has the best player in the world is just ridiculous. Lack of balance? Sure. Maybe there's more talent across the roster in certain positions at some of these teams. But the quarterback is better than anybody on this list. And there is a gap between Mahomes and Josh Allen. And we are not taking appropriately into consideration how much better the Chiefs quarterback is than anybody else on the planet. And I think it's blatant disrespect, and it's just an inappropriate way to utilize this ranking. I am disgusted by it. Okay. I don't mean to diminish your rant.
I think, though, you run into the issue of different teams run different styles of offense to cope with not having a Patrick Mahomes quarterback. So that, how do you weigh that when it comes to talent? If I know my quarterback's not as good, I'm not going to ask him to be as good. So when the other 52 players are better and I'm not relying on that singular position as much, you have to find a way to factor that in. I mean, you get what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to ask other quarterbacks to be him. You're going to diminish what they have to do. And if the other players are more talented, I don't mean the team's better. I just mean that it's more talented. I can see how you come away thinking that a team like the Rams or the Chargers or the Bucks or the Bills have more roster talent.
Not going to hear it. I mean, I mean, I can hear a few teams here or there. Sure. Fine. But I mean, LeBron James never winds up ninth in a list of top 10 rosters in the NBA. Maybe
have you
one
seen this
team.
Lakers team.
Yeah. Peak LeBron is just not getting disrespected like that. And they're disrespecting peak Patrick LeVon Mahomes. That's going to do it for 21 questions. Thank you guys so much for listening. This is presented by McDoodles, the new title sponsor of this wonderful show. We appreciate you. We'll catch you later.